work is he does his part, you do your part, and then they all come together. You do your part, he does his part, and they all come together. So this morning, I want to talk to you from the subject, the price of oil just went up. You know, normally I don't give my subject that early, but for some reason, I guess I'm a little bit discombobulated. I'm out of order, but it doesn't matter nonetheless, because it ain't about my presentation style. I know this is not an entertainment channel. If you want entertainment, you might want to go somewhere else. If you want somebody who sing great, you got the wrong preacher. But if you want somebody who's going to teach you the unadulterated word of God, if you want somebody who's going to just show you the scriptures to the best of his ability, and I, you know, they tell me I can teach a little bit, you know, at least that's what the world say. But, you know, sometimes, don't you hear the Bible say, a prophet's without honor except in his own hometown. So maybe I preach well to everybody else, just not in here. Amen. Well, I don't believe that, but I know God has connected us, and you believe what God is doing through me, and you're connected to the vision of this ministry. And since you're connected to the vision of this ministry, not only do you put in your time, not only do you put in your talent, but many of you put in your resources, and I do not take that for granted. You know, right now, some people, you know, money is a shortage. And I mean, many of you continually tithing faithfully here to the Safe House Church, and we're just grateful for that. All right, so let's get into today's message. I want to talk to you about getting all, you know, I got like 100 things going on here. I want to talk to you from the subject, the price of oil just went up. The price of oil just went up. So when we're talking about oil, you know, I'm talking about oil here. I want to preface this sermon on the oil. We're talking about vegetable oil. And I think about, what is oil? You know, so if you start with anything, you must start with a definition. And once you have a definition that we all agree upon, if we all agree upon that definition, then everything from that point builds forward, right? And the reason everything from that point builds forward is because we've all decided that this is the definition that we're going to use. We've all decided that this is what we're going to say. We all decided that this is where we're going. And once we decide that that's where we're going and that's the definition that we actually want to use, then what? There's just a building going forward from that point. So let's establish this definition today for our oil. All right, so let's talk about oil. Oil is the lifeline of that vegetable. That vegetable, say for instance, today, let's for the sake of argument, we're talking about olives. So what is oil? Oil is part of the substrate. It's part of the nutrients. It's part of the breakdown. It's part of that. It's a central part of that oil. Without that oil inside of that olive would not be an olive. It would shrivel up and die. You and I, you know, we look at it without blood in our body, without water in our bodies, then they tell me that our body is about 80% water. So without water in our bodies, then we would just shrivel up to anything. We would just shrivel up to nothing. We would just shrivel up, and we wouldn't be much of anything. Are you with me this morning? So when we look at oil, oil is a, what we would say is a central. I like to call almost oil, think about oil as what? The blood of the plant. Now, I don't know about you. If you take a plant, if you take an apple, or you take an orange, or you take that, when you squeeze it, what comes out? Those juices or those oil. Now, we call it oil when we're working with olives and certain other plants. Why? Because of the texture of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got juices when we talk about, you know, apples and oranges and pears. But when we start to talk about these plants and aloe and all these different things, we talk about the different oil because what it has fats in it. And we know if anything about fat, fat is sticky. Mm-hmm. Fat has a different consistency to it. But fat is what? It's essential for our bodies. Do you not know if you just walked around with zero fat, then you wouldn't be alive very long, because your body uses fat for what? Energy. Your body uses fat to cushion your organs, and your body uses fat in all different kinds of ways. There's, you know, what we call healthy fats, then what we call bad fats, right? And all these things play a role. So I like to think of the oil as the blood of the plant. You think about it. If I took you and I squeezed you right now, what would come out? Blood. So if you took an olive and you squeeze it, what do you expect to come out? The blood. Which that's why I'm making this definition and I'm setting this ground reference here that oil is the blood of the plant. So what is that oil? Oil is the blood of the plant. We know that blood, and we've talked this about this before, that blood is what essential to life. Without blood, you cannot live. Without blood, then you're not able to move and circulate. Why? Because what does blood do? Blood takes all the nutrients that you eat that's been transformed from your body and your gut to your blood. It's taken to your blood, and the blood does what? It takes it to all the different places it needs to be. It takes it to all the different spots that it needs to be in our bodies to be able to what? To extract what it needs to go for. Okay? So the plant blood is the same thing. So the blood is essential to the plant. The oil is essential to the plant. So I'm looking, because I use blood and oil, I'm using them interchangeably here. All right? My iPad want to keep going off. So what is this useful? Why is it useful? Well, we know oil for us is useful. You know, we use it for lubrications. We use it, like I said, because of the healthy fats that are in it. And we use it, many of us use it for cooking. You know, we cook in vegetable oil or canola or coconut oil. All these oils, what we use this to prepare our food. And this is a way that we get some byproduct out of this oil by using this oil. Is it essential? There are many oils that are, you know, I believe are essential. You know, there's essential fats that we must have in our body. And there, you know, and it comes in those oils. So those oils will be essential. But I'm here to tell you that as a believer, the oil is essential on your life. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, the Bible talks about this anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. And we find throughout the Bible that the oil represents the anointing. When they want to anoint somebody, somebody's being raised up to a new level, somebody's being carry on to a new height, it starts with what? They laying on of hands and they bless them with oil. They say that the oil runs down from the head down to what? Down to the feet. That it starts from the head and runs down to the feet. This is why it's important, husbands, that you have yourself in line. This is why it's important, men, that you have yourself in line. Why? Because the flow on your family's life starts with you. The flow in your family's life starts with you. So if you find yourself in sin and you find yourself all over the place and you find yourself doing things, do you not realize that you're blocking your family's blessings? Do you not realize that when you're not in order, whether that means, you know, you out here and you in sin and you're dipping in dab, or when you're out here and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, when you know what you're supposed to be doing, you're blocking blessings for your family. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey, God has just made me a pastor and I'm just going to tell it like it is. Amen. Because I want to see you make it. I want to see you go forward. I want to see God open up doors for you. I want to see God bless you beyond your wildest dreams. I want to see him use you to the full capacity that you want to be used. But there's a choice that each one of us make. And that choice is to serve him or not to serve him. So then I look at all these different things about the oil. And we understand that there's a cost associated with oil. I went out yesterday and I was driving and I noticed that the prices of gas are starting to creep back up. That means that those barrels of oil, those crude oil, not oil you're going to be eating, that crude oil over in Saudi Arabia somewhere, that they're starting to sell more of it again. There start to be more of a want and demand. And then because there's a want and demand, the price of the oil goes up. Economics 101, supply and demand. So now the price of the oil is going up. Do you not know there's a price for the oil that's on your life? Now, how do you know that? Because what? He's like, Jesus gave his life that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. And that oil came with a price. The Bible said that he pierced him in his side and blood and water came streaming down. And we know that oil to be with his anointing and his spirit that sits upon each and every one of us. And it sits upon you if you ask him to come in and you repent of your sins and you're baptized by the Holy Ghost. And it came in through with the evidence of tongues, whether you were here at the church, whether you was here at your home. But I believe that at some point in time that God would speak through you. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, I believe that holiness is right. And we're talking about the price of oil. The price of holiness is going to cost you. The price of oil is going to cost you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all that, hey, you know what? Things are just, you know, just going to be okie dokie and everybody's going to pat you on your back. But do you not know that you are marked man or woman because you are a believer? Do you not know that you are marked man or woman because you are a believer? The life of a believer that we always mark. But what we understand and what we know is because of Christ and who he is, that we hide under the shadow of the Almighty, mm-hmm. That he protects us and he keeps us. The Bible talks about a hedge of protection. Remember when Job was being attacked by the devil went to go attack Job and God asked him, he said, "Hadn't you considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Yeah, but I can't do nothing to him because you have a hedge around him." Do you not know when you are believing that God has a hedge around you? This is why it's important and it's essential that we do what God tells us to do, because what? There's some things that he knows. You know, I like to think about God works with us like the invisible fits. Have you ever been to a neighborhood where they have those invisible dog fences? And the thing about the invisible dog fence, you know, from my understanding, when they first put it up, there's like almost like a shock barrier to it. Then the animals get to a certain point and they get there, they get shot, and they come back. They get to a certain point and they get shot. And what happens is it trains them that you stay within these boundaries. Then at some point after this period of training, they remove that shot mechanism, and it's no longer there. But the animal has been trained in such a way that no matter what comes, no matter how intense the lust is, no matter how intense of enticement that this thing is or what the pull is that I know I do not go outside of my boundaries. I want you to think about your salvation the same way. That what, no matter what in high intense things is, no matter what we go through, that we do not go outside of the boundaries which God has set for us. See, Adam and Eve found themselves going outside the boundaries. They were told not to touch the tree of good and evil. And what they do, they stepped outside of that boundary, and we saw what happened. They brought sin into the world. That God has set boundaries in my life as myself, and sometimes I've stepped outside of those boundaries, and you know what? Some not such good things have happened to me. Because I stepped outside the boundary. If you ask yourself and you be truthful with yourself, you'll find out that sometimes some things that happened to you that you brought upon yourself. Why? Because you stepped outside of the boundaries. And God is telling us, don't step outside of the boundaries. You know, if you're looking at this pandemic and you just go ahead and you do willy-dilly, oh, I'm fine at this. It's just a matter of time before you be sick. Why? Because you're stepping outside of the boundaries. The boundaries are there to protect us. It's not so much what we can't do, but it's about what we can do within the boundaries that God has given us. You know, for the Bible said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And because of all these things that you and I can go with and have a right to the tree of life. So what are you saying today, Peter? What does it cost? Let's go into our Bibles today. I want to go into our Bibles. I'm going to pull up our verses today. I'm going to start with Romans, the 12th chapter, and we're going to verse 1. We're going KG today, King James Version. Romans, the first chapter, verse 1. We're going to pull this up, and we're going to start it out right here. Let's go. Here we go. Hopefully you can see this. Let me see if I can make this a little bit bigger. Sometimes my window will get bigger. Sometimes I'm warm. I think I'm doing the right thing here. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. All right, I just want to start on this first one here. So I got the other verses up there, but I'm trying a little something new. All right, Romans, and it says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, notice here, you've probably seen this scripture for years. Some of you may not even know where it was. And here he's telling us that, no, through all that God is asking us to do, what he's asking us to do is to present our bodies. That we should present our bodies to him as a what? As a reasonable sacrifice. That it's a reasonable sacrifice to present ourselves to him. That it's not out of the way to do what he asked us to do. Are y'all with me? That it's not so much that we caught up in what we want to do, but he asked us to present ourselves as a reason, present our bodies. What is the cost? It's going to cost us everything. The cost of oil is going to cost you and I everything. And I know that's not what you want to hear this morning. I know that can be a rough word. Some say, Peter, why don't you preach us a shout good message? And I'm here to tell you that I want to preach you a message that's going to save your soul. I want to preach you a message that's going to cause you to think throughout the week. I want to preach you a message that is going to cause you to challenge you in areas that you've not been challenged before. Why? Because I want to see you better. How do you grow? You know, when I think about when I go to the gym, when I was going to the gym, nobody's going to the gym right now. What I had to do was put on weight that was you know, a little bit heavy for me. And it hurt when it came on. But what it did, it challenged me to grow. And what I found that over time, I grew. So sometimes growing ain't always feeling is a thing of feeling good. I remember as a child, I wanted to grow to be about 6'8". I got to 6'3". Lord, I needed 5 more inches. But even in all my growth in this thing, what happens, there used to be excruciating pain. I used to have such pain in my knees. My knees hurt so bad. And they tell me that pain came from me growing. So what? For me to grow to the height I had to go to, there were some things that I had to go through. There's some things I had to endure. And one of these things for us is just going through this pandemic. And this is a time that God has us in isolation. Many of you, the only thing you can get to is the phone. Many of you can get to the computer, but God is calling you to a higher call on today. And I know for some of you, this is prophetic. For some of you, this is confirmation that God has already been tugging on your heart to say, you know what? The price for what you need to do has just gone up. That the cost of this has just gone up. And all I ask you to do is present your body as a reasonable sacrifice, holy and acceptable and doing pleasing unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. He says it's what? It is reasonable for you to do so. So when I think about the olive oil, when I think about the olive oils, how many, when you think about the olive oil and everything that goes with it, you know, the oil doesn't just come. The oil, after that olive has been grown, that olive has been cultured. Come on, somebody. There's something that happens to what? That olive. What happens to that olive? Well, some olives are chosen for their oil. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you are chosen for your oil. God just didn't drop his anointing on any and everybody. There's a cost to be paid for that. There's a cost associated with his anointing. There's a cost that comes with that. And I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, it's costing us what? To give our bodies as a reasonable sacrifice. Everybody's not giving their bodies as a reasonable sacrifice. That means that what? Sometimes I do things I don't want to do. The truth of the matter is, you all, I'm operating on like 2 hours sleep. Because last night I was sitting here and I was preparing everything for today. And you know what? Something else went crazy. My internet didn't want to work the way that it normally works. So I spend up all night trying to get it right. You know, this is my call. This is part of my sacrifice. It was reasonable. Because you know what? After this, I can sleep the rest of the day if my wife allows me to. If my children allows me to. I have nothing else that I really particularly need to do today. But it's a little, it's that little sacrifice that I'm doing now to reach somebody else. It's that seed that's being planted right now to reach somebody else that would be boundless. Because if this saves somebody's soul, I can do without a couple of hours of sleep. I can get it later. Because I thought it was that important to make sure that this broadcast went out, and it went out in such a way that others could be able to hear it. That it went out in such a way that others will be able to partake. That it went out in such a way that someone may ask, what must I do? In particular, believers, what are you doing? What are you doing with this time that God has us locked away? What are you doing at this time that, do you not know when it's times that God has us locked away that it's the time to grow? It's the time when you transform. You know, I like to almost think about that. We're in a spiritual cocoon. And we all know the story of butterflies and moths, that they start out as this little worm and they're stuck away in this. And as they're stuck in this, what happens is that they transform over time. And I like to believe that when we come out of this, some of you are going to be transformed. Just not by the renewing of your mind. Some of you are going to be transformed physically. But some of you, more importantly, are going to be transformed spiritually. This is what the Bible says is what? He said, many are called, but what? Few are chosen. What do you mean, Peter? That a number of times the phone rings, but not everybody answers. I know sometimes we in this day and time now, our phones ring and we don't always answer the phone. And sometimes, you know, I got a call this week that I almost didn't answer. I was like, oh, this is just going to be another telemarketer. I answered the phone and it was somebody trying to get me to go do something. Right? That was a good thing. But I almost didn't answer the phone. Why? Because sometimes we, you know, we've been getting so many calls from so many people. The Bible says it calls it this. The Bible calls it itching ears. That so many people are some. People are prophesizing. People want to hear a good word. People want to hear something that make them feel good and this and that. When God is, or the true God is sending a word to you to saying that, look, it's time for you because what? The price of the oil just went up. The price of the oil just went up. So what is he saying to you and I on today? He's saying that what? That those who are chosen, remember, few are called, but those who decide to pick up the call say, Lord, I'm going to consecrate myself. God, I'm going to give myself as a living sacrifice. Lord, I want to go to the next level. Lord, I know it's not going to be easy. What do you want me to do? Do you not know what it costs to get the oil out of your life? It's called crushing. How do they get the oil out of olive oils? They do this thing where they call a cold press. If you look right behind me on the screen, this is an old school or ancient cold press. And what they do to the olives is, you know, like we talk about, some olives are eaten and they're left whole and they're left pretty and they have all their oils and they have all this stuff and they are what? They look good for the moment. Ooh, Y'all about to salute. Catch this. Catch this. They look good for the moment. Some people out there, they look good. They look like everything is going well, and they got this and they got that going on. But you know, the oil that's in their life is only for them. Mm-hmm. The oil, think about when you buy a jug or a bottle of olives, those olives are what's sitting in their only oil, and it's only good for who? Just them. But then there's a group of people. The Bible calls them a peculiar people. Mm-hmm. That what their oil is not just for them. Because they understand, I don't live this life for me. They understand that I live this life that what? That someone else might have the right to the tree of life. We often say that what? Sometimes the only Bible that some other folk are going to see is what? By you. There's some people who are only going to know Jesus because of what we've done here on a Periscope and what we've done on Facebook and what we've done on YouTube and all these other places wherever God has us to go. That somebody's going to see this and their lives are going to be transformed. And what do? Because we're disciples. So what do? We lay ourselves as a given, as a sacrifice, and there's a crushing that happens. So some olives are what? They're put in the cold press. And they're ran over by this very, very large millstone here. And they're crushed. And while they're crushed, what happens is the oils are released. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, some of you being crushed. You don't know what's going on. You're losing family members. You're feeling anxiety trying to come upon you. Some of you feel that depression demon trying to make his way back. And I tell you that all the time, believers cannot be depressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can be depressed, but you're not what? Oh, I mean, there's oppression, depression, but believers cannot be what? Possessed. Because that means what? The Holy Ghost should be full of you. I mean, you should be full of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, you know, that was a different subject we talked about before. So you have what? Oppression. Oppression is what? Outside forces. Mm-hmm. Depression, right? Is how you react to those things. And then possession means that what? You've been taken over. Okay? So when God puts us in this crucible of life, when we get put in this cold vat and we have olives and God is now what? Starting to do what? Allow us to be crushed. I just got through telling you that oppression is what? Things from the pressures from the outside. So what causes you to be crushed? Come on, y'all. This is good right here. What causes you to be crushed? What causes you to be crushed is outside pressures. A life, the things we deal with, the things we deal with on the job, those people, those who feel like they're being mistreated on their job and they have situations going on, those who for whatever reason seem like the finances are just all out of whack and we're having problems with our finances. For those who people around us are saying things, those of us who made poor decisions and now we're suffering with those poor decisions because we're stuck in them. Mm-hmm. Those outside pressures, those things of the pandemic and how we can't control anything. And some of us are just so used to controlling each and everything in our lives that we want to control this and we want to control that. And now none of us have any control. Outside pressure. And what does this pressure do? It crushes us. It crushes you. It crushes me. And what happens is as this thing is crushing, we find out what we are made of. You find out what you're made of. I find out what I'm made of. Do I believe him like I say I do? Do I love him like I say I do? When I got a choice to, you know, pay, you know, tithe and or to go ahead and do this, do I trust him then? Been there. I'm not telling y'all stuff I haven't done myself. Y'all know that's one thing I tell you all. I'm not going to do anything that I'm not going to tell you all to do anything I don't do. That's not leadership. Leaders are the first partaker of the cup. So what? These decisions that you have to make, do I do this versus this? Outside pressure. What decisions do I make? Do I spend this or do we go here or do we just throw in the towel? Do we shut down the business? Do we just give up? Do I go in the backyard and put a gun in my mouth and shoot myself? These are some of the things that brothers and sisters from around the world are struggling with. And what you're finding is there's a crushing. And from that crushing, what we're finding out is that what kind of anointing is in your life? What oil is coming out of your life. And I'm here to tell you today that from that crushing that you are experiencing on the individual level, that somebody who's going to see that oil, that somebody who's going to partake of that oil, that somebody who's going to sop that up, and they're going to know God because of you. They're going to know him because of you. It's not about me. It's about him being crucified. And we are just all servants in this space. We all work in this space. Right? So what does he do? He goes in. And so now, what? There's a oil that comes out of our life when we go through things. Every time I had a significant trial, there was something that I went that gave me a testimony to be able to bless somebody else. The Bible said we overcome by the power of our testimony. So sometimes you got to share that thing with somebody else. Now use some discretion, use some discernment, but there are times that I share personal things and testimonies about me. I'm just transparent. That's just who I am. But sometimes people need to hear so that they have hope. Because non-believers, they're non-believers because they're non-believers. They don't believe. But you and I who do believe, there's a crushing that takes place. And that crushing, what shows us what we're made of. You know, they used to say it like this when I was, you know, back home in the streets. They used to say that pressure bust pipes. And it's this pressure of the pandemic, the pressure of what we're going in, the pressure of us not being able to meet like we want to, the pressure of us not being able to go like we want to, the pressure of us not doing this, the pressure of decisions, the pressure of, you know, whether I let my children go. I struggle to even let my children go places. Why? Because I want them healthy and I know the other things that, you know, it could affect. Not that I don't have faith, because faith is knowledge. It's a substance of things hoped for, yet evidence of things not seen. But they go forward. Now watch this. This is where we get into the meat of this. I know y'all said you've been laying in the background for a while, but it's a lot here today. And I know some of you come and go, and that's fine. But those who want to eat, come on, eat. The table is full. And you got to feast that spread, because God is calling us here today. He's calling us to a higher level. And it's, you know, do you want to meet the call? Do you want to meet the call? It's your choice. He's not forcing greatness on anybody. Right? Because he said what? Then he who is great what? Is a what? Servant. Okay. So when the oil is crushed, now it's what? Usable. So if one person has an olive, see that one person can eat that olive. That's one olive. But that oil can be what? On the multitude. That oil can be spread out. Do y'all see what I'm saying to you today? The oil can be spread. So let's talk about in close. What did he say in Exodus about this oil? Because there's a, you know, the Bible talks about anointing oil, and we talked about anointing. And, you know, in our churches, we often tell, you know, when we get new members and we give everybody a bottle of this, what we call anointing oil. Let me let that focus in real quick for you. Can't get up my lights. Okay. Man, these cameras are awesome. Thank y'all, Safe House Church, for the new camera. Pastor is grateful. That's a lot better. All right. So, let's talk about this oil. Let me switch over to the scripture for you. Oil. Hope y'all are enjoying this morning. All right. We want to go to Exodus. We're in Exodus. And we want to go to Exodus 30:22 and 25. And it says this. Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels. What we about to find out here, there's what? A oil that's about to be made. It's a godly oil. This is a anointing oil that is being made for the holy. And the Bible gives very, very clear instructions on how they should do this. And I want to talk to you about these ingredients in this oil. First, I want to give thanks to Pastor Jensen Franklin. You know, I give honor where honor's due, and you know, he had a steady way. He laid these parts of these different pieces out. And, you know, as a researcher, I always give respect to whoever did the work. So he says this. He says, pure myrrh. Take also the principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels. So what is a shekel? A shekel is a weight. It's how they weight. So you think about it, like we say 500 pounds, they use shekels, okay? So shekels is just a form of measurement. And he said, of sweet cinnamon, half so much. So half of what? Half of a shekel. He said half of so much. Even 250 shekel and of sweet calamus, 250 shekel. And of cassia, I guess that's how you say that, cassia, 500 shekel, and the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hint, a hint of olive oil. Now, he has all these. These are the things he's making, what? A holy oil. And he says this, and thou shalt make an oil of holy anointment, an ointment compound after the art of the atropaki. I might have killed that word, y'all forgive me. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Now, most of us in our churches, we use olive oil. And you notice here the Bible said we only use a hint. We're talking about the price of oil today. But I want you to look even more closely that this price of this oil, look at the ingredients here. Myrrh.
It's 10 o'clock.
Myrrh is expensive. Sweet cinnamon. Cinnamon is expensive. He said use what? Calamus. Calamus is not cheap. Cassia is not cheap. And olive oil, if you ever went and bought a bottle of olive oil, you know how expensive olive oil can be. Amen. So he tells them to do this. Okay. Now, as they do this, I want to explain to you a couple of things about this oil. I want to explain to you what this oil is. And how it affects us in our lives. Okay? What about this oil, Pastor? Glad you asked. Let me get my stuff straight here. This oil, let's talk about myrrh. Myrrh represents meekness. So what we're talking about is the five essentials. You want to write these down. My note takers, write them down so you can study them all week long. Because I have a significant challenge for you here at the end. Because if you want the oil in your life, how many of you want oil in your life? Now, if you just want to be, just an olive and you just got it all to yourself, that's fine. I get it. That's you. But I want to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear him say to me. Five things. Write down these five. Number one, myrrh. Myrrh is meekness. Every believer should have a measure of meekness in their life if they want this anointing. Mm-hmm. So he talked about myrrh. Myrrh represents the meek things of us. Myrrh. Can you be meek in what God has given you? Number two, uprightness. What is uprightness? It means to stand. Do you fold when trouble comes? Do you quit when trouble comes? Are you easily shaken? Are you rattled? Do you fall for anything? They used to say, if you don't stand for something, you will what? Fall for anything. You have to stand. Sometimes I've been in places where I had to stand for my faith, and it might have seemed like it closed the door, but what I found out is that God opened another door because I had to trust him. I'm not telling you stuff that's easy. It's hard. Sometimes downright hard. But I'm telling you by faith, I'm telling you from experience that he will do it. He has done it in my life, and he'll do it in yours. Stand. So number two, uprightness, which is represented by what? The cinnamon. So when you're upright, this is the tough thing now. This is the tough thing that I always find to be tough. When you're upright before God, when you're upright before men, what they'll do is they'll respect you. Mm-hmm. They'll respect you. Now, this is the thing about respect that I often find sometimes is that because we're people and sometimes we want to be acknowledged. And I want to be acknowledged sometimes too. And because we want to be acknowledged, what happens with us sometimes is that if people don't respect us in front of everybody, then we feel like they didn't respect us or they didn't care or it didn't matter. And I'm here to tell you today, it might even matter even more. You would be surprised at the number of inbox messages I get. No, they might not like my video. They might not like the video. No, they may not ever step foot in Safe House Church. But every now and then I get a message from somebody. I'm like, how did they get my phone number? Every now and then I get a text message from somebody. Every now and then somebody will come by. Every now and then somebody will put a little money in my hand. Every now and then somebody will do something to remind me of the uprightness. And what? Because you're upright, what happens is people are attracted to you. You hear people say that people are attracted to their anointing? It's called part of that uprightness. And this is the ingredient that is attracted to that is cinnamon. What is cinnamon? Cinnamon smells sweet. It's sweet, amen. Mm-hmm. So cinnamon is sweet. So since cinnamon is sweet, we are what? Attracted to it. We're attracted to the sweetness. Do you not know when somebody has the anointing on their life, there's what? A sweetness about them? If you're all bitter all the time, baby, I don't know how you're going to get anybody to want to be saved. He likes a little hot. Number three, humility. Humility. The Bible says like that. He said, he that humbles himself shall be what? Exalted, right? You know what? In due season, God got it. He's going to promote us. I know sometimes we struggle in this space. I struggle in this space too. It's like, Lord, I've been working, working, working. I should be promoted by now. Or I should be here by now. And God said, look, chill out. I got you. I got your back. Do you trust me? We got to trust him. So humility is represented by what? The commerce. The commerce plant is actually a reed. It's located in many swamps. But at the top of that reed is some oil. Man, oil. I know I'm country, y'all. Oil. O-I-L. Oil. Okay? And it's in swamps. So think about that. When I think about where the commerce plant is found, the commerce plant is found in what? A swamp. What's in the swamp? A lot of different stuff. Stales, snakes, gators, mosquitoes. Even in debt, God has what? Some oil there. So that's to tell somebody today, even though you find yourself in this circumstance, you find yourself in all these different things, there is oil in that swamp. Don't give up. And when God is ready for you, oh, whoo, prophetic word right here for somebody. You're in the swamp. And there's oil in that swamp. And he knows you're there. And you've been struggling. Say, Lord, when am I going to get out of this? Lord, I'm just struggling. I'm stuck. It seemed like. And God said, no, I see you. But I got you there because only that oil grows there in the swamp. Mm. Woo, y'all. Mm. Come on, that was heavy. That oil only grows in that swamp. Look it up. Commerce plant. I'm telling you all. See, y'all know I tell y'all, Google everything I tell you. I don't have to make stuff up. It's just the word of God. C-A-L-A-M-U-S. Go look it up. It's a reed. And where the reeds grow? In the water. And it grows in the swamp. So you find yourself in the swampy things. But God is going to pull you out of that when he's ready for you. Why? Because it's part of that anointing. You cannot get the, oof. Remember we talking about these five pieces, right? You cannot get it without going through the swamp. So then he goes on to say, that's what you get, what? Humility from the swamp. Woo, Lord, thank you for that. Because I think about it, there's humility in the swamp. When I'm in the swampy things, when I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I know I'm better than this. Why am I here? Lord, I know that you got better call on my life than this. Why am I here? And what he does is he's put us where we needed to grow for the season that he needs it. Some of us, he's just teaching humility. I can talk about me. Mm-hmm. Some of us, he's teaching us meekness. Some of us, he's learning, teaching us how to be sweet and stop being bitter. He's gone. Let him go. She's gone. Let her go. Mm-hmm. See, all these pieces, see, I almost see it. I can see this thing two different ways. You know, all five of these ingredients come together to make this anointing. But I can also see there's almost like five seasons in your life that God is taking you through a time that, like I said, number one, that you're learning to be meek. You just don't come out of the womb doing this stuff, y'all. It's work. You have to work at it. You know, then there's the time where you learn to be upright. Because some of us been, you know, we was falling all over the place. But now God is teaching us how to be upright, that we have to stand for something. And then there's a time where he's teaching us humility. Sometimes you in those bad places. Like I said, I don't know about you. I don't like being in swamps. I've been in a couple of them. They ain't the nice places. But sometimes you got to be in that swamp to be humble. He's humbling some of us. And it starts for some of us in the swamp. Then let me keep going. Then he goes on and he says what? Then you have, he said, use cassia. C-A-S-S-I-A. Write this down. Cassia is needed. What is cassia? Cassia actually is a cleaning agent. Woo! Y'all see how this thing is coming together? This thing is good. If you're not eating good today, it's your own fault. Okay? I know it's going to be it's a little long, but you at home anyway. What else do you got to do? Turn on, can't watch football, can't go watch basketball. Maybe you go play golf, go fishing or something. And if you do that, then just take your cell phone with you, put it out there on the bank and still listen to it. Because I'm trying to help you. Because God wants to take us somewhere this week. Y'all, Pentecost Sunday is next Sunday. He's given us some things to do. And he's laid this on my heart to share with y'all today. So the cassia, go look it up. C-A-S-S-I-A. Number four, cassia is cleansing. So you think about after you've been in the swamp, what does he do? And now he's going to clean you up. I was telling some of you all, I was just telling you all the other day, when God takes you to a new level, there are things that you used to do on level A that you can't do on level B. And things you used to do on level A and B that you can't do on level C. What does he do? He's slowly cleaning you up. I can give you an example of that. When I first became a professor, I used to go to work. I'll wear my J's, tennis shoes, whatever I wanted to wear, khakis, t-shirt, just do my job. And I was still doing a great job. I was still being a teacher. But what I did not realize is I was not teaching high school anymore. How I looked didn't matter. Why? Because the way I looked at that particular point in time made me look like the students. You know, I was blessed that I started being a professor when I was in my early 30s. You know, students walking around the campus in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. So I look just like I have this shirt on today. I look just like one of the students walking around campus. So therefore, I didn't get some of the respect that I was, you know, deserved, or the respect that I was supposed to have gotten. No people know who I was. So it mattered. And it mattered to a lot of individuals who had power. It didn't matter to me, but it mattered to them. So one year I came back, the next year I had made in my mind, I said, you know what? My suit is my uniform. So what I did is I went out and I bought some really nice suits, got them all tailored up. And every day from that point on, I wore a suit. And ever since then, with the exception of a handful of times, for the last 6-7 years, I've worn a suit every single day. That's why I tell people, I'm very comfortable in a suit. Now here lately, I ain't worn one in almost 3 months because there was no reason to wear one. Okay? But I wear it. And what happened? People changed how they treated me because I was on a new level, and therefore what I had to do changed. Some of you, ooh, thank you, Lord. God just, man, y'all, I'm telling y'all, this is a power. God just been dropping bombs on me today, y'all. The anointing is strong with me today. Someone who's in entrepreneurship, this is why your business is not taking off. You're still operating like you're on level A, but you're on C. You want to be on level C, but you're operating like you're on level A. When this pandemic is over, when you start to get back to your businesses, operate in excellence. Stop shucking and jiving. Stop cutting corners. The customers can tell. And because they can tell, that's why they come and they ask for discounts. They cost what they cost. But you can't sell it for what it's cost. It's because of the way you present it. Oh, come on, somebody. And the way you present yourself. Mm-hmm. So when you present yourself better, you're going to get better customers who are not going to ask you for a discount because they understand the price of the oil. Oh, come on, y'all. Woo! Man, this anointing is strong. Oh, God. If you're not getting anything out of this today, y'all, I don't know what to do for you. Woo! That was prophetic for somebody right there. I don't know who that was to reach. Maybe you watch it later on the replay or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So then the cleansing. So then the last part, number five, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is represented by what? Olive oil. This is why we pray with olive oils. We use it to represent the Holy Spirit. So when they anoint your head, well, the Bible says he anoints his head with oil. That's what the representative, and that's what they start from the top and they let the oil run down to, the Bible says, the beard, right? And it keeps running down. It flows from the top down. Why? He must anoint your head with his spirit. You know, I serve God right here. People say, well, I serve God in my heart. This right here is nothing but a muscle. I can prove it to you. Hopefully they never have to do this to me. But they can take my heart out. Mm-hmm. They can take my heart out and put me on some machine and keep me alive for a good little while. People who've had open heart surgery, my father, they'll tell you, yeah, it works. He's still here 10 plus years later. They can do it. They have done it. Do you see what I'm saying? But if they take this brain out here, have they been able to transport this brain to something else? They try, but they can't because it's the epicenter. He says, serve God with your heart. It's that heart of him is right here. You serve God with your mind. It starts with a choice. You all, we have choices. God is not a God that forces himself on us. He's given us free choice. It's a choice. So you have a choice to make. Yes, you do. So you make that choice. So that's why the anointing starts here, right? So what? It flows from the head down. Why? Because it covers the mind. He said, let this mind be in you. That's what? In Christ Jesus. So it starts with your mind. And there's a choice that is made. And then as your mind does it, what happens? The rest of your body follows. Making sense now? It starts with your mind and it flows down. So if your mind goes, the rest of it goes. You know, when I play football, the worst penalty you can get at football is to call a face mask, which means that somebody has grabbed your the thing that covers to keep your teeth in your mouth, the mask, and they grab it. And you know what? And the thing, the reason it's so, it's such a big penalty is because it's really deadly. You know, I remember when playing in high school and stuff, you can grab somebody's face mask and you can control their whole body. However their head goes, the rest of the body got to follow or it's going to break them off. Make sense? So that's why it's a big penalty. This is why it's important that what, how our head goes. This is why we got to be important to keep our head about us in all of this. Two more verses and I'm getting, I'm going to give y'all what I got, God's giving me, and we're going to get out of here. All right, last two. 2 Corinthians 2:15. He says this. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. So if you have ever smelled that oil, if you ever smell how that oil actually smells, it smells sweet. Why? Because of the cinnamon in it. There's just that hint of myrrh, the olive oil in it. It gives off a sweet aroma. And he said, what? We are unto God a sweet savor. When that means when we operate, all five of those things are operating in our life. When the Holy Ghost is operating in our life. When we're being clean, asking for forgiveness in our life. When we walking in humility in our life. When we standing for God, when we need to stand. And then we serving him in meekness. All of these things together create a sweet smelling savor. And he says that what? Death unto him. He said, in them that are saved. And in them that perish. So that tells me that what? Some of us are not going, you know, we all got a point that we're going to perish. And that savior still stays with you. Why? Because you died in Christ. And when you died in Christ, you died with that anointing. So the price of this, it's going to cost you. So then he goes on, he says this in Ephesians 5, 1 through 12, and I'm going to be done with verse. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet smelling savor. The Bible often talks about this savor, this sweet smelling savor. How do we smell sweet to God? When we walk in meekness, when we walk in uprightness, when we walk in humility, when we walk in cleanliness, when we walk in what? The Holy Spirit. Those five things is what your anointing is made of. I know I'm not all the way there some days. Some days, you know, it's working all good. Then there's some days where I fall into some unclean things. Yeah, I make mistakes. There's some days that Peter's not very humble. Mm-hmm. There's some days that Peter doesn't feel like being upright. He knows it's the right thing to do and he should stand up and say something about it, but it's easier for him to walk away because it saves him because it's a sacrifice. If I say something, then that means somebody's probably going to say something back to me and now I got to endure that. How many of you know sometimes you see things wrong and sometimes we just turn our head? Mm-hmm. And I know this is a little bit long today, but it's good. It's good stuff. Then what? Meekness. Sometimes I'm not very meek. But all these things, God would have us work to work in our life together. And all these things come together that you and I can walk in what? His anointing. It's the price of the oil. So what is the price of the oil for us? It's sacrifice. He told Peter this. He said, Peter, this kind only go out by what? Fasting and praying. These kind only go out by fasting and praying. Which brings me to our call today. Safe House Church, next week is Pentecost Sunday. And God just laid on me as clear as day that it was time. And I don't think we've ever done this, that we're going to call a church fast. I know many of you are home and many of you, you know, going through things and God is keeping us. But I don't know what's on the horizon. And I just don't believe that God just called us to come to this fast for nothing. Well, what, there's a price that has to be paid. And he said, what, that price is what's subjecting this flesh. So this is what I'm asking every believer, and those who want to join us, please join us. But I'm asking every believer, specifically to the Safe House Church, I'm going to actually do a couple of three specific things. And I just not throwing, you know, fast out there without some stuff on it, because I believe God has given me some things. We want to fast this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We want to fast Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Write these things down. Want to fast the first day. I'm not just going to throw you in there. I know some of you maybe never fasted in your life, and I understand that. But God knows. You know, whether you cheating on your fast, he knows. It ain't about me, because I'm not going to be one calling you and checking in. Did you do this? Did you do that? Whatever, whatever. Mm-mm, that's not me. Because what? He said, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. So you don't fear. It ain't going to mean nothing to you. So on Wednesday, we want to fast from 8 a.m. to 12. So if you want us ones who want to get up and eat it before 8 o'clock, then so be it. Have at it. But I'm asking that we do a corporate fast from 8 to 12 o'clock. And on Wednesday, our focus is the self and family. I want you on Wednesday, I want you to be praying for yourself and your family. I'm going to come on every day. If it's Lord's will, I'm coming on every day at 12 o'clock. And we're going to pray for like 10 to 15 minutes. I'll be on Zoom, like those who want to get on Zoom or who want to come off Facebook or whatever the case may be. I have all the platforms up, you know, maybe not as all the bells and whistles like I do on Sunday morning, but I have them up. And we're going to fast from 8 to 12 p.m. on Wednesday. Okay. The focus, every day we have a focus. The focus is we're focusing on ourselves and our family. Why? Because I can't help nobody else if my own house is in disarray. I can't help anybody else. Is the Bible say what? How can you help the brother who's blind when you have a pole in your own eye? So we got to start with us. We got to cleanse our own hearts. And I'm talking about what? Putting this anointing on your life. These five things I gave you today. Okay? Wednesday, 8 to 12. Self and family is what you'll be praying for. Then on Thursday, we're going to fast from 8 to 3 p.m. A little bit more. 8 to 3 p.m. The focus is, I want you to focus on a single individual that God has laid on your heart that you want to pray for. A single individual. I want you to concentrate all your efforts to that one individual. There's somebody that God has put on your heart during this pandemic. There's somebody that I believe God has already touched you about. Put your prayers and efforts towards that one individual. We're fasting from 8 to 3 p.m. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what the fast consists of. And then on Friday, it's going to be a four-day fast. We're fasting from 8 to 5 p.m. On Friday, we're going to fast from 8 to 5 p.m. And our focus for Friday is discernment. Do you all understand or know how important discernment is? We in a day and time now, you got to have the spirit of discernment. Why? Because some of you, you know, I'm a school teacher. I know I'm going to have to go back here in a couple of weeks. Some of us school teachers, some of us work in places with a lot of people. We got to go back around all these people. And some of these people are going to be sick. That's the truth of the matter. They're going to be sick. But I believe that God can keep us through this sickness. I believe that he can keep all of us. And he can give us the spirit of discernment to say, you know what? Watch how close you are to that person. You know, God can bring that stuff back to your remembrance. I just believe that. I know he can. The Bible talks about he bring back to your remembrance scripture and all this. That discernment. You know how sometimes you just feel uneasy? That's that discernment. Hey, I don't know what it is, but something ain't right here. Y'all know that? Some of y'all call it your good. It's just the spirit. So on Friday, we ask them that you all focus and pray for the spirit of discernment. So every single day, I'm going to come on at 12, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I'm going to pray. You know, like I said, you know, and then, but on Monday, write these down. On Wednesday, I'm sorry, from 8 to 12, it's going to be self and family. On Thursday, we fast from 8 to 3 p.m. It's going to be single individual. And then on Friday, we fast from 8 to 5 p.m. And you're going to focus on discernment. Now, what does this fast consist of? Okay. No food, just water. Now, before you go there, I know there are members and individuals who may want to participate who have some health issues or, you know, challenges and certain things they just cannot do like that. And I get that. This is what we have for them. So those who have diet restriction, I don't come to your house and check if you have diet restriction, because this is the anointing of God. If you want it, you want it. He said this only goes out by fasting and praying. So I don't know about you, but I want to go into Pentecost with such an anointing. I want to be able to hear y'all call and say, Lord, and what some of the things that God has done in your life that week and after, and this new anointing that's on your life and this discernment that's now on your life, so that you will be able to be well and your family will be well and you'll know what to do and what not to do, what to go, where to go, what not to go, what to say and what not to say. That's all I'm trying to do. Well, I believe God has given me for you and us. So no food. So that's no food from 8 to 12 on Wednesday. And then after that, you can eat. Then on Thursday from 8 to 3 p.m., then after that, you can eat. Then on Friday from 8 to 5 p.m., then after that, you can eat. Drink all the water. Please do not get dehydrated. Drink. I'm saying drink all the water you can. Now, those who have diet restrictions, this is what we ask them. If you have diet restriction and you have to eat, and I get that those who are diabetics and all this, you know, I don't want to get a phone call and one of y'all that fell out in diabetic coma or you're breastfeeding and you got to, I know that. But you can do these because it's probably things you should be almost doing anyway. No sugar, no caffeine, no breads, no meats. Some people say, oh, that's just a Daniel fast. Well, whatever it is. Now, you know. I'm not coming to your house and say, hey, you know what you're doing. You know. And God knows. And that's all that matters. So if you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. I don't twist anybody's arm. But for me in my house, even in my house, I can lead by example. So if my wife decides she don't want to do it, I mean, I'm not going to put my children in there, put my children out there. But this is me, because I'm the shepherd of my house. I'm the priest of my home. Just like every man is the priest of his home that's under the sound of my voice. But this is what we're going to do. And I believe God is going to open up some doors. There's some things that got to change. Some of you are struggling in some areas. There's some things that you want to change. And this is where it's going to come from. He said these things come by fasting and praying. We're talking about we want this anointing on our life. And if this anointing is going to be on our life, it's going to only come by fasting and prayer. One more time. Wednesday, 8 to 12. Then Thursday, we're going from 8 to 3. And then on Friday, we're going from 8 to 5. Just water. And those who are on diet restriction, no sugar, no breads, no meats. So you can eat the vegetables or whatever you need to do, but we're going to say that you don't have those. And you'll still be in solidarity with us. How many of y'all want to go to the next level? I'm done, but I want to go to the next level in Him. I want to see you go to the next level in Him. And I know that God wants us to go there. But the thing is, we have to do our part. We have to do our part. And in doing our part, I believe that this is part of our part as we go forward. And we're just going to trust Him. And I don't know about you. I'm just going to trust that He's going to what? He's going to break these chains. He's going to break these chains and these things that keep us from being there. So as we go in on this own, I know I was a little longer than I normally be, but I believe God gave us a tremendous word on today. And if you would, at this time, we ask that you go in, you know, be tithing and offering time as I put up our display for our offering as I, you know, navigating this thing here. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm just so grateful to all of you. You know, like I said, you could have been anywhere else today, but you decided to be here with us. And for that, we are grateful, grateful, grateful. So we ask that that you give according to how God has bless you to give. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. There is power in Jesus. As we give, break every chain. As we Ezekiel. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord Jesus, this word that came across on today. Lord, I ask that you touch minds, touch hearts, Lord Jesus, those who are true, Lord Jesus, those who really want to know you, Lord Jesus, those who want your anointing, Lord Jesus, that destroy the yoke, set the captive free, Lord. Let us, Lord Jesus, go in this week, Lord Jesus. We walk into this Pentecost, oh God. Lord Jesus, to go forth, Lord Jesus, to give your name all the honor and all the glory, Lord Jesus. Help us, oh God. Lord Jesus, Lord, we desire, Lord Jesus, and I know some are going to struggle. Some have never been in a fast on a day in their life, oh God. But Lord Jesus, I ask that you give them the strength on today, Lord Jesus, that we help each other get through this, oh God. Lord Jesus, that we sacrifice our bodies, oh God, for your spirit to grow, Lord Jesus, and your words to grow, oh God. Lord Jesus, and I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we praise your name and we give your name all the honor and the praise for that, Lord God. The glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you. For we know it's none like you in all the land, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you. 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 Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And we praise your name for that. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. And how many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. I just want to come back to you. I just want to say I thank you. I love you. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And just continue to pray for us here at the Safe House Church. We're not a perfect people, but we are blessed people who want to see God. And, you know, and we just want to, you know, elders to go with us, you know. You know, we're in a pandemic. Y'all can see, I mean, I ain't had a haircut in weeks. And I'm not ready to go to a barbershop yet. And the Lord, and by the way I'm going, I might be ready to cut it all off. But, you know, it's good to have fun. Protect you and yourselves. Protect your families. Enjoy your Memorial Day time off. But this week, I ask that you work in those five things that I asked you. Meekness. Mm-hmm. Man, we talked about meekness, right? And this is why I asked you to write them down. You know, that we work in those things that he gave, because the price of oil just went up, and this is how you're going to get it. That you work in that meekness. Mm-hmm. Pick one a day. Meekness, one day. Uprightness, the next day. Humility. Cleansing, and the Holy Spirit on Friday. And I just believe God is going to do a work of wonder in your life as you pray for your family, as you pray for others, and you pray for the Spirit of the Saints. God bless you all. I love you. Have a good one. Leave me a comment. Let me know if this hit the spot today. Just leave me a comment. You know, I need to be encouraged too. Because, you know, after a while, you're just sitting here. I'm in a room by myself with lights and cameras, and I can see myself on the TV just talking. You know, and I see a little bit as I monitor the different things I need to monitor. But God is good. Do me a favor. Hit share on this video. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. And you have an amazing, amazing, amazing rest of the day, and we're gonna get on out of here. If I can find my slide to let me go. Yes, there's a here we go. God bless you. Love you. Take care.